whatever the infernal thing is.
This is the Supercalifragilistic Awesome Disney Podcast, where each week we discuss, you guessed it, Disney.
Things you know, things you don't know, and things you didn't know you needed to know.
Well, as Walt would say, the way to get started is to quit talking and begin doing.
Oh, wait. I can do this.
Okay.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténgase alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard, Disney fam. Hello, indeed, out there, Disney fam. Welcome to this week's show. My name is Chris.
And I'm Kelly.
Oh, and Kelly's wearing one of my favorite sets of ears, what I think you originally thought was a Mary Poppins set of ears.
I thought they were Mary Poppins ears
tiny hat. I totally get little flower. Totally get it. But they are, in fact, Minnie Mouse ears.
They're Minnie Mouse ears with a little flower coming off of the top.
It's the hat that she wears.
And so it's very on topic for me today. I don't wear these ears a lot because they are just sequined to within an inch of their life.
That's right.
And they itch and they slide off of, if you're wearing glasses, they slide right off the arms of the glasses. But they are totes adorbs.
Yeah, they really are. And I mean, thank God for me to set you straight there.
Thank God for you, honey, as always. Thank God for you. Hey, did anybody listen to us this week?
I literally just paused to give you an opportunity to ask that question now.
Well, where were they at when they listened, honey?
Because, yes, of course.
Let us know. Come on.
San Bernardino, California.
Ooh.
Yes, lovely, beautiful SoCal town east of L.A.
Okay, that's fun.
Right near Big Bear Lake.
All right.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Reno, Nevada.
Ooh.
The biggest little town in the world, not far from Tahoe. Never been in Reno.
Okay, same.
Maybe go gamble in Reno.
Yeah, same.
Independence, Missouri. Now, Independence, Missouri.
Love it. No, that's Liberty.
Yeah, it's Liberty.
Liberty.
Totally different Missouri town.
Completely different Missouri town.
So funny. Totally different Missouri town, but both
built around the idea
of freedom.
Yeah, I love Little Liberty, Missouri.
Liberty was an adorable little town.
So cute.
But listen, Independence, Missouri's got a lot going on, too.
Okay.
It's known as the Queen City of the Trails because it was the point of departure for the California, Oregon, and Santa Fe Trails.
Okay.
Back in the day, of course.
All right.
It's also the hometown of U.S. President Harry S. Truman. It's where the Truman Presidential Library is located. Independence, Missouri's got a lot going on. Liberty's beautiful, too.
Liberty's beautiful. And I think they had, what was it, the Jesse James Museum, that guy that robbed all the banks?
They did. Totally different kind of a museum.
Totally similar. Same thing.
But thank you for downloading Independence, Missouri, folks.
Yes.
And Dubai.
Dubai.
Yes.
Now that's fun.
That is fun. Yeah. Dubai, city it's an emirate in the United Arab Emirates, known for luxury shopping, ultra modern architecture, and a lively nightlife.
Wow.
Home, of course, to the Burj Khalifa, tallest building in the world.
Yeah.
And the Burj Al Arab, which is that hotel that looks like a sailboat. It's out there on that man-made island.
Oh, yes.
Along with a million other things. I mean, Dubai is
like
a fake place almost.
It's so almost
crazy.
But wow, that's cool.
But you know what else they're doing?
SCFADP up in Dubai.
They're listening to us over in Dubai.
Of course they are.
Why wouldn't they? I want to talk about Main Street.
Give us the news, hon.
All right. So, I am so excited about this. Do you remember when we ate at 1900 Park Fair?
Yes.
Who did we meet there that day?
Manny. Handy Manny.
You get all of the buffet places mixed up. That was the Hollywood and Vine. We met Handy Manny there. Yeah.
Where is 1900 Park Fair?
It's at the Grand Floridian.
We met... the Mad Hatter.
We met the Mad Hatter, yes.
And I think probably Snow was with him.
No, I think we met...
Marginalized Snow doesn't get a breakfast.
You
doesn't get a breakfast.
She does. Snow, she's over at Akershus. She gets a breakfast at Akershus. No, we met the Mad Hatter. We met Mary Poppins. I think Pooh and Alice in Wonderland. Alice. She wasn't in Wonderland anymore. We met Alice.
We met Alice outside of Wonderland.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've got new people to meet at 1900 Park Fair.
Okay. Who's jumping in?
We've got Cindy. Cindy's going to be at 1900 Park Fair.
Cindy. Welcome, Cindy. Yeah, yeah. Leaving her castle to pop down to 1900 Park Fair.
That's right. Aladdin. But Aladdin in his princely outfit.
Okay, so Aladdin as...
Aladdin as prince. Aladdin.
As husband to the new sultan.
That's right.
Does that make him a prince, or does that make him, like, first gentleman?
He's dressed nice. He's not dressed like a street urchin. So that we, right. we'll go with that.
Okay.
We also have Tiana in her...
This is an eclectic crowd.
It is. It's a we're coming from all different areas here. Tiana, but it's Tiana in her adventure dress, like she's going to be wearing in the Bayou Adventure.
I thought she was wearing pants in the Bayou
she
Adventure.
She is. It's her adventure... I didn't mean adventure dress, as in it's a dress. I meant... Adventure gear.
Her outfit.
Yes,
her outfit. Fit. Okay, good. Yes. All right.
Loving that.
Love it.
She's got a cute little hat. It's just adorbs.
Nice.
And then my favorite almost brings me to tears. She even mentioned it, Mirabelle. I
oh,
have.
Wow. Gosh, yeah. That is an eclectic group.
Yes, but I'll go here just to meet Mirabelle. I
wonder how Jasmine feels about Aladdin hanging out with all those other women at breakfast.
He knows where his bread's buttered. He's good. He's trustworthy. I mean, now that he's no longer stealing stuff, he's trustworthy.
Right.
You know,
he's a very trustworthy thief.
Yep. Yep. Now he's very trustworthy thief. So
fascinating.
I have also decided in reading this, I have a real affinity for Mirabelle. Okay. I want to meet her every chance I get.
Okay. Why do you think that is?
I don't know why that is exactly. But, you know, we were talking about the whole Enneagram deal. I did that this week and learned a little bit about myself. And
yeah.
I want to know what Mirabelle's Enneagram is.
Do you feel that you identify with
Mirabelle? I do feel like I identify with Mirabelle.
Okay. That's fascinating.
But I feel like I identify with Mirabelle before I took that test.
The Enneagram test.
But now maybe I feel like I know why.
But now you really identify with Mirabelle.
I just reading about her made me get a little verklempt. Wow. I love her.
Okay.
I love Mirabelle.
Okay, honey.
Can we go there?
Can we go there next?
Can we go there next time and I can meet her there? So yeah, that's the new lineup at 1900 Park Fair. I'm excited about it. They also have something there that seems like everybody knows about. That's supposed to be delicious, called strawberry soup.
Strawberry soup.
Yeah.
Is it cold?
I think it's cold. It's cold.
So is it like a jam? Jams, jellies, jams.
See, bringing back a line. No, I don't know. I don't know. But people act like it's just the thing. It is. They serve it for like any meal. You can get the strawberry soup at any meal there because it's just.
I'm gonna Google that. That's worth making.
I think so too.
I'll make some strawberry soup. That sounds delightful.
It does sound delightful.
Strawberry soup.
I don't know why we don't. I don't know how I'm just not coming across this. Hey, if you've heard of the strawberry soup or you've even had it, really? Tell us about it.
Really?
Galactic Star Cruiser news here.
Okay.
Not really, but it came up in conversation recently. Josh DeMaro was having an interview or something with CNBC. And here was a comment he made about it. This is something that had never been done before. It was difficult to even explain to the public, and I think it was incredibly brave for us to move into this space. And this, to me, says Imagineering is still at its best today. Those learnings, he says, are being employed on the next experiences, which we haven't even announced yet. So, I noticed that there are no wrecking balls knocking the building down.
Right.
Right.
Which I didn't expect. Yes.
Right. I know there's a... entryway, I think, maybe I'm wrong, from Galactic Star Cruiser into Batuu. Like I said, maybe I'm wrong about that. But I agree that it was hard for them to help us all understand what Galactic Star Cruiser was and what it was supposed to be.
I agree.
And then once we did actually start to have an understanding as people started to enjoy it, it became apparent how big a leap forward Imagineering took with this thing.
I agree
truly,
with that.
Yes. I totally agree with DeMaro's comments here that this was a brave undertaking. It just cost too much money.
Yeah.
But there is bound to be something they can do with this thing, right? Even if you just open it up for a dinner show with Gaia, or you open it up for lightsaber training, or you open it up for, you know, a secret excursion into the, you know, the First Order's spaceship or something on a hour and a half long mission that you go on in there, just an experience like that. There's bound to be something that we can use this for that gets to have us all share in what Imagineering created here, because it's pretty incredible.
It is.
I mean, yes. We talked in a previous episode.
Cost prohibitive for a lot of people.
Yeah, for two and a half days.
Yeah.
$6,000 for a family of four.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of money. I could go on an actual Disney cruise for a little less than that, maybe.
And that's also significant.
But it would be expensive.
Much more than 2.5 days.
That's what I'm getting at.
Right. Yeah. So it's
you're talking about a week long cruise versus 2.5 days.
But it was completely immersive.
Yes.
And really, really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want them to. I love the idea that they're taking the learnings from that and planning something else that is in that style, but that maybe is more doable for people.
I think they could very easily turn that into a high-end hotel.
Yeah.
You could walk into the park, which is something that they don't have at Disney World.
Right.
And I think that would go over swimmingly. That could very easily turn into a high-end resort, you know, add a pool. Add some, you know, I think they have food in there, but add other restaurants, whatever. That could very easily be a high-end Star Wars-themed resort.
Agreed.
With an entrance to the park.
Yep. Okay, last thing here. Test Track is being reimagined. Again.
I saw that, yes.
I mean, I say again. I mean, the Test Track has been around for a while now.
It has, but you have to reimagine that on a regular basis because it gets out of date so quickly.
Fast. I mean, you're talking about automotive transportation.
I mean, we're moving towards electric vehicles these
days.
We are
really leaving Test Track behind.
Yeah.
So here's what Disney has to say about the Test Track Imagineering. Our Disney Imagineers are gearing up.
Cute. I see what they did there.
Gearing up to bring the next iteration of Test Track to life and are reaching back into our history for inspiration, including the original World of Motion attraction from the early days of Epcot. Today, we're sharing a first look at the brand new rendering of the attraction. So there's online you can see what the promenade outside of Test Track will look like in the future.
Okay.
It'll still have a single rider line and all this kind of fun stuff. But I just wonder what they will do to zhuzh it up a little bit.
It's currently sponsored by Chevrolet, right?
Yes, that's right.
Is it still going to be sponsored by Chevrolet?
It says it is. Yeah. It says it is.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So I guess it'll be whatever Chevrolet sees as the future vehicle.
I'm sure they have a big piece of that. I mean, I remember the original World of Motion. I remember it was very, Omnimover, Spaceship Earth type attraction, Journey into Imagination type ride vehicle. And I remember the very first thing we saw was footprints lighting up on the wall, in the dark that you were, because that was our first mode of transportation, right? Was walking.
That's cool. Okay. Right? Yeah.
It very much went from a transportation
focused ride
that ended up with and now we drive around in cars and go into our display room where we've got all these cool futuristic looking cars.
Right.
Right. To now it's really just Test Track. It's here's how we build and manufacture and test cars. Right. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite.
You get to build your own car.
And you can build your own car. Right. And so I remember one of my grandma's favorite things to do was after the World of Motion attraction to get into the cars that were on display once you got off the ride. Mm-hmm. So you would literally, she'd go get into all these cars that she would love to have bought and just get a picture of me in this Camaro, Chris, that kind of thing. So I'd love to see some of those old transportation ideas come back in there, but we'll see what happens. All right. You ready for Tomorrowland?
I'm ready, honey. Tomorrowland. Give it to me.
So, on April the 5th, Disneyland in Anaheim launched Season of the Force.
Okay.
What are we talking about, honey?
It's got to be Star Wars.
Got to be Star Wars. Look at you. You were.
I'm such a Star Wars fan.
You are a Star Wars
fan. I caught that immediately.
I know you did.
So good
at it. I want to thank Disney Parks blog and Undercover Tourist for a lot of the information here, right? So Disneyland is taking Star Wars month, which they almost always do throughout the month of May, right? Because that's when May the 4th will be with you.
May the 4th be with you. And Life Day is somewhere around in there.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Life Day might
let's
be.
Let's just say I'm right. Let's just go with me being right November, about a Star Wars thing.
November, I think. Okay. In any case, they are stretching it out to an entire 2 months, at least, this time. It's going from April the 5th through June the 2nd.
Wow. Okay, that's good.
They did this back in 2015, I think, but then they've decided to relaunch it this year. I feel like there was something that came, there was a 25th anniversary, something's been out for 25 years, maybe, I can't remember. But they've decided to relaunch the Season of the Force, which will last 2 months, okay? So I thought I'd talk about some of the things that they're doing at Disneyland Resort in Anaheim to celebrate Season of the Force.
Okay.
There's a lot of cool things happening. Number one, which is an increasingly popular thing, is a scavenger hunt, right? Mm-hmm. So you can go to Star Traders in Tomorrowland. You can pick up your scavenger hunt sort of placard, your scorekeeper deal. And the idea is you're going to go around Tomorrowland and Galaxy's Edge and solve puzzles or look for clues to fill out your secret decoder card.
All right.
And then you take it back to Star Traders and you'll get a prize. If you're not interested in spoilers, close your ears for 5 seconds as I tell everybody else, close your ears right now. It's a trading card that you get whenever you fill out the thing. So,
okay. I thought you were going to say a pen.
It's a trading card.
Okay.
Hope that all happened in 5 seconds for those people that didn't want to know. So anyway, scavenger hunt, and that's always popular to walk around and find things. I like the idea that there are puzzles to solve and that sort of stuff. And I think the ultimate thing, too, is you solve these mini puzzles, and then that you solve a bigger puzzle at the bottom of your placard. Yeah. I also think that Star Traders will just give you the prize at the same time you start the effort.
You know, I was that does sound like something that Disney would do, but I tell you, at the thing at the Poly where you had to find Hey to the button.
Yeah.
She was pretty specific. Like, she wanted to see the picture on the phone. Did you find it?
Did you find it?
Get your button.
Yes, because I made a joke with her about, hey, can I have, you know, I found Hey again.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, it hasn't moved.
Right. No, they're I think sometimes
Hey has not moved.
Depending on the cast member you get.
Yeah. And she was delightful, but she was delightful, not going to give me more pins. No, certainly not.
So, I wouldn't just tell people, they can go ask for it. Yeah. Sometimes
you
need to play the game.
Right. Hyperspace Mountain returns to Tomorrowland at Disneyland during the Season of the Force.
Okay.
Right. So this is the Star Wars overlay that they incorporate at Space Mountain. Is the one in Paris always Hyperspace Mountain?
I think it is.
Wasn't that one Hyperspace Mountain?
I think it is.
If that, in which case, absolutely worth it. Really, really cool.
Absolutely, yes.
Much
better Space Mountain experience.
We've always maintained that the Space Mountain experience in Disneyland is better than the one at Magic Kingdom for a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. One of which is that they have a better sound and video system incorporated into it. They shut that thing down 10 or 12 years ago and did a major overhaul of that attraction, which included increased abilities for sound and video.
The ride's smoother too.
And the ride is a double, you know, two-seat ride car.
So you can sit next to the redheaded ghost.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, I listen to your segments, honey. I really do listen to them. I learn things. Thanks, I learn things.
Thank you. So, yeah, really, really cool sort of, I mean, just Star Wars, I mean, sorry, Space Mountain with Star Wars music alone would be really, really cool.
Yes.
But in this case, you are piloting an X-Wing fighter and engaged in a daring space dogfight with TIE fighters, and you come across Star Destroyers and all that zhuzhes it up quite a bit. I've used zhuzh twice now.
You're really into zhuzhing today.
I am. I'm
you're just zhuzhing.
I feel like
podcast.
It's zhuzhing up me today. Okay, Star Wars The Adventure Continues. Look. Maybe the most underrated attraction at any of the parks that it is included in. Star Tours.
Oh, Star Tours. Love it.
Love it.
Love Star Tours.
At its heart, it's basically just a simulation ride, but they did what seemed obvious, but it took everybody a long time to realize, oh, if we just create some new movies and some new experiences, we can make this ride be different every time you go on it. And it has been for us.
Oh, yeah. I've never been on the same one twice. Yeah. We went into water this time, which was really cool.
It was really cool. So, but now they are going to, starting on April the 5th, we get new locations and characters. We get Ahsoka. We get Cassian Andor. We get Din Djarin. You love Din Djarin.
Oh, yeah. I do. That's a person on Star Wars that I love.
That's the Mandalorian, dear.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I said. It's a person on Star Wars that I love.
We get to
who you're talking about.
I know you did. We get to visit Peridia, where we encounter the Pergil. These are the large, huge, great space whales that are able to travel through hyperspace. We see them.
I know who they are.
I know you do. Some people might, though. Might not. That we see them on the Rebels series and in Ahsoka.
Right. Of course we do.
So really, really excited about being able to experience that. Now, even though this season of The Force is happening at Disneyland, we get that in Disney World also. They're bringing that to the Star Tours ride at Hollywood Studios.
Okay.
New characters in Batuu. So the little BDX droids, the BD droids that we grow to love in the video game Fallen Order. Mm-hmm. They were hanging out in Batuu. They are so tiny. There's three of them. They thought about naming them Huey, Dewey, and Louie, but they haven't officially named them yet. But there's video online right now. Brooke McDonald posted out video of them dancing.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, they're like knee high, and these things are dancing. Incredible. Fresh. Incredible. Just so cute.
Fresh.
Sabine Wren from the Rebels, or actually from Ahsoka, the Ahsoka version of Sabine Wren, is now going to be meeting people in Batuu. She'll be walking around, which is really, really cool, along with Mandalorian and Grogu are still out there, and Chewbacca and Stormtroopers and Kylo Ren, they all still there, but they're introducing Sabine Wren during the season of The Force. Okay. She's cool. She's really cool. Very excited about a new fireworks show. Now, let's not go overboard by calling it truly a new fireworks show.
Okay.
Here's what they've done. People sort of learned that at Disneyland, a really cool place to watch the fireworks that are going on, you know, the nightly fireworks on Main Street, a cool place to watch them from was Galaxy's Edge. You get a little bit of a different perspective, but what you miss is the music in sync with the fireworks and the show, right? So what's
a huge deal there.
It's a big deal.
It's a dance party. Yeah.
It is. They do a good job there. It's high energy.
Yeah.
Now, what they're going to do here is this is called Fire of the Rising Moon. Since we're shooting off fireworks, and we've got some people that have decided to come around to Galaxy's Edge to watch, but it's pretty quiet over there during the fireworks.
Okay.
They have taken Star Wars music from all the different movies and John Williams soundtracks and, you know, all these various places, and synced it up with the fireworks that are already going on Main Street.
Okay.
Because you get a great view of the fireworks. They go off over the Black Spire mountain range.
Yeah.
But now, if you want to watch them from Galaxy's Edge, you get a full-on show that is synced up with the same fireworks.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just now we're gonna use music from Star Wars that we've synced up to the existing fireworks for the other show.
That's cool.
Here's what that's going to do. That's going to have main. That's going to relieve some of that pressure on Main Street, and they're going to go over to Galaxy's Edge. And what the undercover tourist said was great point. Make sure you go 2 days because you're going to want to see it from Main Street, and you're going to want to see it now from Galaxy's Edge, right? So, I love that idea.
Yeah,
and if they've got like some lighting effects that are taking place in Galaxy's Edge and some lasers, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, they recommend watching it from either where the TIE... Where the TIE Fighter is sitting or where the Millennium Falcon is sitting.
Okay.
So...
That's awesome.
Really, really cool there.
That is very cool.
And, like, using what we're already doing, we're going to expand that out.
I like that.
Might have another season of The Force, Tomorrowland, just dedicated to food because they have done a lot of food stuff.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, that's very cool.
Just FYI. All right. Hi, honey.
Well, I have World Showcase today, and I'm going to talk about the topiaries of the Flower and Garden Festival.
Let me pull up my homework.
The first time we went and we took our kids, the youngest was 8.
Yeah.
Say sure. 8. And we're walking around, and she just suddenly turns to us and she goes, "They do such a good job with the grass."
They do. They do a good job with the grass. Can't deny it.
We're like, she's not wrong. They do a really good job with the grass. So I'm going to talk about the 10 best topiaries at this year's Flower and Garden Festival.
Which is saying something.
It is, because there's plenty. There's tons. There's way more than this. I'm just going for the 10 best that I think are the best. Okay. Yep. Two of these are new, and some of these are old favorites, but they're the best for me in no particular order.
Okay.
Okay, no particular order. The first one is Figgy.
Okay.
Now, Figment is over in World Celebration Plaza, and he is sort of sat up on top of these two areas, like
risers, like garden risers.
Yeah, looks like a fountain. If you have the Figgy Topiary in Dreamlight Valley, very similar. But this has these huge pink flowers, like, leading up to Figgy. Now, we got close enough, and I think Figgy's made out of all succulents.
I think so, too.
Which was
really beautiful.
Cool to see.
Really beautiful. Like,
I mean,
He's purple, but yet when you get really close, he's so many different shades
yes.
of purple and lavender, and he's gorgeous.
It's really, really cool. Yeah. And so essentially some of the stuff that they did this year that's slightly different is they incorporated a lot of statue-type things in with the topiaries. Now, these are still floral and green and
sure.
all that. So, like, those big pink flowers that I was talking about, the flowers themselves are statues.
Right.
Right? But the center of the flower
yeah.
is more topiary.
Right.
So it's really cool how they did that. But I love so much that they made Figgy basically the centerpiece
yeah.
of the park with this topiary. I think they did such a good job.
I think the center of those flowers might be the same succulents that most of his body is made out of.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, like, I have killed so many succulents. When I see this many succulents on one thing, I just think it's begging for death.
This is just a miracle.
I don't know if these are, like, preserved in some way. I have no idea how they're managing this, but I would kill Figgy in a heartbeat.
Oh.
I know. So sorry, Figgy. The next one, Tiana. Now, I love Tiana. She's at the American Adventure. Tiana has a beautiful, beautiful dress that she's
yeah,
wearing.
Yeah.
She's gorgeous. And what I love, though, about her is there's, like, this arch behind her
yeah.
that sort of has, like, I'm going to call it Spanish moss.
It looks what it kind of looks like.
But it's yeah. like the moss that's hanging off the trees in Savannah mm-hmm. in Charleston,
yeah.
you know, which is so
or
very
probably
Tiana.
Probably Louisiana.
Probably Louisiana, right? So very, very Tiana. I just adore that.
It's a gorgeous topiary that it's, I don't know, it's
like you can't, her dress is just so beautiful.
It's ridiculous. And like the, like you said, the hoop, it's like she's mm-hmm. like she's standing in front of a big hoop. You can imagine that that's like either like a Tinkerbell type thing or some
right.
fireworks sort of tumbling
yes.
down behind her. It's really,
so,
really
so perfect.
Beautiful.
The next one is new, and this is the Groot topiary. Now,
yeah.
Groot is over near Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, and this is a new topiary. So this is probably teenage Groot holding like a cassette tape. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of background because this one's brand new. It says, for the first time, Groot, the Flora Colossus from the Guardians of the Galaxy trilogy, has taken root near Cosmic Rewind
How
World
cute.
Discovery.
I see what they did.
See what they did there? The design draws inspiration from the entertaining I Am Groot short that's featured on Disney Plus. I don't think I've watched this, titled Groot Takes a Bath, where the lovable character discovers his topiary powers. I haven't seen that,
and I want
to now. As part of the innovative evolution of topiary production, the team has seamlessly integrated 3D models into the complete development and production pipeline for the second consecutive year. Leveraging 3D modeling goes beyond ensuring visual accuracy. It plays a role in integrating special effects and lighting presentations for the topiary. So the team utilized this 3D modeling and printing, enhanced with traditional sculpt material and paint, to ensure the depiction of Groot was as precise as possible. The focus on maintaining the integrity of the character while continuing to streamline the design and the construction process has motivated us to improvise and evolve how the Epcot International Flower and Garden Topiary team creates and builds these incredible pieces of living art each year, explained Stephen Montavallo. He's one of the designers. In true Guardians of the Galaxy fashion, Groot is holding a mixtape titled Greenhouse Mix Volume 1. With his own soundtrack playing. It's the first time a musical element has been incorporated into a topiary at Epcot.
Nice.
So that's cool.
Yeah, and the scenery around him is very alien looking.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's
very much Groot running around on some alien planet.
Totes brill. Next up, Lady and the Tramp. This is in World Showcase over in the Italy Pavilion. I love Lady and the Tramp. The thing that I love most about this depiction, A, they're dogs, which I love, but it's ladies' ears.
I knew when I saw this picture and I knew it was in your top 10, I was like, this thing's been here for a long time. I don't think this is new.
It's her ears.
But it's her ears, man.
I love her ears. I want to sort of scratch right behind them.
I know.
Give her a kiss around the little nose or booper or something. It's just the cutest thing. Her ears are poofy and fluffy, and I'm like, how do they do that with grass? I don't know, but it's lovely.
It's beautiful. And he's like, hey, girl. he's looking at her like,
how you doing
and she's giving him some side eye. She's like, I see you
Tramp. Next one, we could not stop talking about this when we were there in March. It's the Encanto topiary.
The whole thing. So over the top beautiful.
Mirabelle, Antonio, Isabella, and Luisa, but the one you want to see is Antonio. This is between Disney Traders and the Port of Entry. You can't miss it as you're walking into World Showcase. Yep. Antonio's hair
is the best.
Is the best thing going. Yes. I can't think of another topiary that is more lifelike and that makes me want to just stick my hands in it and just like ruffle his hair.
I know. I want to give Antonio just a little soft noogie so bad.
Oh my goodness. It is perfection. So whoever was in charge of Antonio's hair, well done.
Somebody said, look at this kid's hair in the movie. Mm. We need a plant that is going to duplicate this.
Yes.
And they nailed it.
The first ever projection mapped topiary is in Mexico. This is Miguel and Dante.
Oh.
So in Mexico, guests will get to see our first ever topiary enhanced with special projection effects featuring Miguel from the Pixar Animation Studios film Coco. Miguel can be seen here in his mariachi attire with his great-great-grandfather's guitar, and Dante in his alabrille form, flying over a marigold bridge. With the bright and vibrant colors we see in the realm in Coco, it seemed like an obvious choice when they proposed the idea of using projection mapping technology to enhance Dante's look during the evening hours. Once we decided to create Dante, I immediately began testing glowing materials like solar charged paint and various effects to portray his ethereal glow. During the day, Dante looks like the rest of the topiary family. As the sun begins to set, guests should start seeing his hints of solar charged paint beginning to glow. And at night, his glow will shine even brighter through the use of projection mapping technology.
Come on.
Pushing contrast between day and night allows us to incorporate more lifelike elements into these characters, providing guests with an unexpected element of surprise evening. And it's amazing.
I love it so much.
Dante's awesome. The Marigold Bridge, amazing. Yeah. I love that he glows.
It's so cool. And
that's a new topiary.
I love that they're like, we've got to come up with, we have led the world in these topiary designs, but we're going to do even more.
Yes.
We're going to do more.
I love it. Next up is Beauty and the Beast in the France Pavilion.
Of course.
Not new. This is not new. But I just love it. Yeah. I just love.
How many pictures do you think we have in front of them?
1,000. I know. I just love it. Next up, also not new, is Bo Peep. Now, Bo Peep is standing there with her sheep and Woody. They are in World of Nature between Imagination and the Land Pavilion.
Yeah.
What makes this so great is the sheep.
The sheep. I know.
The sheep's hair is made out of monkey grass.
Yes.
I have never wanted to try to recreate a topiary more.
They are adorbs.
I think they are brilliant.
Yeah.
Yep. They're brilliant. Okay, I'm going to hurry up because I've got two more. These two are also new. The dragon in the China Pavilion. Not new. He's out in the water. Also made from succulents.
Crazy beautiful.
I can't.
Crazy beautiful.
It's phenomenal. Like, whoever worked on that dragon,
yeah.
Props to you.
Yeah, gorgeous.
And then finally, Simba and Friends, which is in World Nature near the land.
Yeah.
It's Rafiki, Mufasa, Nala, and Rafiki's holding up baby Simba. Mm-hmm. What I love most is baby Simba's face because he's like, he's not like smiling.
Put me down, put me down.
He's like, oh gosh, what's happening here?
Put me down.
But Rafiki's beard is awesome.
I know, yeah.
Simba's mane.
Mufasa's mane.
Mufasa's mane. No, that's Mufasa's mane. So that's not Nala.
Oh.
That's Mufasa.
Oh, no, no. I think you're right. I think I'm totally wrong.
Simba's
I think this
mom.
Is Simba and Nala, and they're new one at the end of the movie. I think you're right.
No, the description says Rafiki, Simba, Mufasa, and Sarabi.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm wrong.
Yes.
I'm wrong.
Yes. So, but again, Mufasa's
his mane is crazy.
Is phenomenal. That's in World of Nature near the land.
What do you think they used for that?
I don't even know. I don't even know. Straw, hay, painted it dark brown. I have no idea.
It's gorgeous.
These are some brilliant, brilliant people.
I know. Kudos to the Imagineers that come up with those topiaries.
Yes.
These are just 10, but they're all crazy.
Go online and look at the pictures, y'all, because it's amazing.
Amazing. Folks, that's the show for this week. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, you know what to do now. Run out to your service. So hit the subscribe button so that you don't have to worry about downloading the show. Leave us a 5-star rating and leave us a review if your service allows for it. It's going to lead other people to the show.
Absolutely. And if you're looking for more things Disney, please visit scfadp.com. That's S for super, C for Cali, F for fragilistic, A for awesome, D for Disney, P for podcast. Quick heads up, we're going to be launching a new line of t-shirts.
Uh-oh.
Called Overheard at Disney. And
I'm so excited about it.
That'll be this summer. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Catch up with us on Instagram at SCFADP. Love to see you there. And with that, we will
see you real soon.
New merch.
New merch. Yeah.